field of music and changing his life and changing his music. And he's been a tremendous blessing to many people all over this country. And God's used his testimony in a tremendous way. And we're looking forward to hearing from him. I asked him to do some fun songs for the kids this morning to start out with. We got some of the little ones in here. And my granddaughter, Morgan, has been listening to one of his CDs that has a song on it called Nip It in the Bud. And he sang that last night at the banquet, but I asked him to sing it again. So he's going to sing some fun songs. And guys, you may want to put that on the screen so the folks over here can see too, and that'll help them out as well. But we just want you to enjoy and as well as be blessed from this time this morning. All right, Brother Fry.
Technology is a wonderful thing. Whatever works.
There she is. Are we in there now? All right. Hallelujah. Well, Merry Christmas to you, if I forget to say it. I'll be heading to Alabama after the service today, so y'all pray for me on the road. Kids, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. You ready? I can tell that right there. All right. This is about somebody who watches the Andrew Griffith Show way, way too much. All right. Green with crazed bloodshot eyes, empty pop bottles, and chicken that's fried. Andy, time for supper. Rerun, I just can't break free. There's Andy and me, and baby makes three. Don't worry, we'll get him. I gotta nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. I think I need to get a life and say goodbye to Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud. Now Floyd always says, ooh, having a haircut. It's a beautiful thing to watch Goober work. Ain't you got a jack? Or to hear Gomer sing Santa Lucia. And Otis can jump rope with bottle in hand. But Andy can't get B to just call the man, Aunt B. I gotta nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. I think I need to get a life and say goodbye to Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud. Ernestie Bass, she called me a creaster. Can sure chunk a rock. And Opie the Birdman, he sure learned a lot. Cause winking tells blinking, and blinking whispers to nod. And nod tips off Barney that I'm losing it all. My whole body's a weapon. I gotta nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. I fear I'll never have a life or ever hooked on Fearless Fife. Nip it in the bud. Old my Barney had a jail and couldn't lock it. Had one bullet for his pistol, had to keep it in his pocket. His left shirt pocket. Episode 117, The Shoplifters, his right shirt pocket. Barney messed up, and I noticed because I watched it way, way too much. Most all the other episodes, except for maybe three, his left shirt pocket.
You don't think I can get banjo sounds out in this jug? A man's entitled to his opinion.
I got a nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud.
I might get my hand in those petunias yet, Andy.
Looking like a cow looking at a new gate. Look at you. All right. This is a little song for the kids. My friend Dr. Jim Benny wrote the words to this, and we had to switch it around a little bit and add some music and stuff. And I named the frog Felton because that's my daddy's middle name, and you can do that when you're one of the songwriters and get away with it. So this is a song about a flying frog. Anybody ever seen a flying frog? Yeah, me neither. Oh, you've seen one? Whee! The Felton the frog was known to complain. He wasn't content with a stubby frame. He hated to hop and never satisfied, but he always wanted to fly. Then he spied two crows and hatched a plan. If y'all help me, I know I can. I've got a great idea if I can use your might. Share in the joys of flight. Take a stick in your beaks and then you'll see. As a bite on the middle, you can carry me. Quick as a wink, they were in the air, flying high as a kite, without a care. Then a fellow crow passing by blinked at the sight that caught his eye. Flew alongside to see just why a flying frog could ever survive. What a great idea, he was heard to say. I never saw a frog fly quite this way. A novel plan for any day. Whose idea was this anyway? And now Felton's heart was filled with pride. He saw his chance with a beady eye. He loudly proclaimed, "It was I!" Promptly fell like a rock and died. Now the moral here is plain to see. The credit may go to you or me. It means so little, you will agree. When seeking the glory, we cease to be. Two crows and a frog, what a sight to see. Like the Wright brothers going down in his story. If he'd only kept his mouth shut tight, he'd still be bragging about his first flight. But the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen? Amen. All right. Is that it? Do you want me to do something else? Well, let's stay here all day and do this, all right? Oh, me. Let me do the first one I did last night. Kids, this is a good song about integrity. Anybody know what integrity means? That means like being honest and doing the right thing. And this is a story about a little boy who decided to do the right thing. Okay? The two little boys were staring at the candy on display. One whispered to the other with the clerk looking away. Just put it in your pocket, no one will ever know. We'll eat it all before we get back home. Well, that little boy just stared down at the candy on the shelf. And you could almost hear the conversation he had with himself. And then he gave the clerk a dollar, took his candy and his change, gave half to his buddy and explained, no matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. And when I'm home and Mama asks me, have you been good? Though she would never know, I would. And now little boys that grow up, temptations grow up too. We're living in a world that says do what you want to do. And what they don't know won't hurt them is the devil's battle cry. But a godly man knows that it's just a lie. So no matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. And when the Holy Spirit asks me, have you been good? Though the world would never know, I would. The man that I am when nobody's watching is the man I really am. So no matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. And when the Holy Spirit asks me, have you been good? Though the world would never know, and though the world might not ever know, I would. Me and Jesus would. So always do right. Right, kids? Right. All right. God bless you. What are we doing now? Me? I'm preaching. I'm going to make sure. Well, I might need my Bible for that. Thanks, sir. Y'all have a great class, okay? See you later. Bye. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. You know that song we sang about the frog was a song about pride. And as I read this passage of Scripture here in Mark chapter 10, there was a young man who had a lot of pride in this story as well. And so if you found your place there, Mark chapter 10, we'll read in verse 17. This is a story about when the rich man was tested. You can also find the story in Matthew and Luke, but we're going to read the one here in Mark. And the Bible says, Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I bow my head and my heart and ask you to help me now during this Sunday school hour just to teach on this lesson here and ask a question this morning in Sunday school. Are you good? You know, this young man in this story thought he was good enough to get to heaven on his own. He thought there was something that he could do to get to heaven, but Jesus tried to straighten him out to help him realize that he was not good enough to get to heaven on his own, that he needed the goodness of Jesus Christ. And help us all to see what you would have us to learn through this morning. And Father, again, I thank you for this church, this pastor, their kindness to me. And Lord, I thank you for these young kids that are here today. Help them to open their ears and hearts to what you'd have to say to each and every one of us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, the Bible says here in verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way. That's talking about Jesus. When Jesus was gone forth into the way. And I imagine this in my mind that maybe this rich man here, and the Bible says that he was young. In Matthew chapter 20, the Bible says he was a young man. And then in Luke chapter 18 and verse 23, the Bible says he was very rich. And back in this day and time, in this culture, you didn't find very many young, rich rulers. Most of the rulers that were rich were older men. And also, you never saw older men back in that day running. But here, we find one running. And I believe one of the reasons he ran to Jesus was because I believe Jesus passed him by on the way. I believe that this young, rich young ruler was so cocky and so full of himself that he was standing there and he said, well, Jesus is going to be coming by here in just a minute, and I'm sure he'll come and stop and talk to me because I'm rich, I'm young, and I'm somebody. But you know what? Jesus walked right on by him. And then he went running to him and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was so full of himself, I believe that he thought there was something that he could do to get to heaven on his own. And Jesus said unto him these words. Look at verse 18. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, why did he say that? I think for a couple of reasons. First of all, he was telling this young man, you're not good, you're not God, and you're not going to heaven. And because why he was saying that, he said, there's none good but God, because what he was saying to that young man, if you're going to call me good, you're going to have to call me God. Because see, back in that day, they believed he was a good man, he was a prophet, but they did not believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. But he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became a man like us so we could learn how to be a man like him. And so he was trying to tell this young man, first of all, I don't think you're as good as you think you are. And you're not going to call me good unless you call me God. He was trying to share with him who he was and why he was there. And then what Jesus did in verse 19, he said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Now, all of these false witness means do not lie. Honor thy father and thy mother. But there was one that he stuck in there that was not a Ten Commandment, if you will. All these other ones you'll find in the book of Exodus in chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. But there was one there that said, defraud not. Now, why would Jesus stick that in there, do you think? Because he was a rich young ruler. Maybe the reason he was a rich young ruler is because that he cheated somebody out of their money. And that's how he became rich. I don't know for sure. But that is in there for a reason. God's Word, always every word in the Word of God is in there for one reason or another. And so here is the thing. This young man came to him and he was thinking there was something that he could do to get to heaven. He just wanted to find out what it was. So Jesus said this to him. Look at verse 20. Well, look at verse 20. He said, after he had told him to keep all the commandments, he answered unto him and said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And maybe he was a good moral young man and stuff, but how many of you have kept the Ten Commandments all your life? If you raise your hand, you just told your first lie. All right. Here's the thing. Nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are there. They're our schoolmasters that show us our need for Christ because nobody can do that. And you're not saved by the law, by the way. But guess what? If you die without Jesus Christ, you will be judged by the law. And here's what happened. He said, Master, I've observed all these from my youth, still so full of pride. But look at the next verse. Even in his pride, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. You know what? God knows what pushes your button. God knows where your heart is this morning. You know what? He knew where this young man's heart was. He loved money. And Jesus Christ knew that. That's why he said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. But look what the rich young ruler happened to him. He was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, first of all, we saw in verse 17, he had pride in himself. And then secondly, in verse 20, he had pride in his works. And in verse 22, he had pride in his possessions. Hey, is there anything in your life that you would not give up to follow Jesus Christ? If there is anything in your life that you would not give up to follow Jesus Christ, then you have a little God in your life. The hardest thing for me, when God started dealing with me about my life, As I was thinking, man, if I start following Jesus, I'm going to have to give up my music. But then when I realized it was not my music, it was His music, I didn't care whether I had it or not. I'll be honest with you. When I first got saved, I was scared to death to pick up the guitar. Because all of a sudden I had this new life in Christ, and I surely didn't want anything to come in between me and God. And one day I got on my knees in front of the guitar and I said, God, if You want me to sell this, I'll sell it. If You want me to throw it in the dumpster out back behind these apartments, I'll do that. If you want me to get rid of it, what? I said, God, I would like to use it for You, but if I can't, I don't want it to get in the way of what I have with You. Hey, is there anything in your life that's keeping you from loving the Lord and serving the Lord? Do you have any little gods in your life? Boy, this young man had a God in his life. His God was money. And he had great possessions. He loved all the things that he had acquired because he was rich and he was young. And you know what? A lot of times people say, well, I'm rich, I'm young, I got it made. But one day, you're going to leave this world. And you're not going to take your possessions with you. And you're not going to take your money with you. That's why Jesus said, give it all to Me. Have you ever given it all to God? Is there anything you're holding on to this morning to keep you from serving Almighty God? You know, I live in North Carolina in a golf resort area. They have the U.S. Open there every year in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And there's a lot of people that golf is their God. Instead of going to church on Sunday morning, they're on the golf course worshiping their God. You know, some people, instead of coming to church on Sunday morning, are at a football game worshiping their God. You know, when 9/11 happened, all the other houses of worship closed and the churches of God were full. Do you remember that? The racetrack was shut down. The football stadium was shut down. Everything was shut down, and all of a sudden the house of God was full. There's a lot of other houses of worship open today. Some people worship the God of sleep. Some people say, well, you know, Sunday's my only day to rest. I work all the other days and it's my only day to rest. Sleep has become their God. And they worship sleep instead of worshiping the true God. All kind of little gods in the world. And Jesus said here, verse 23, and Jesus looked around about and said unto His disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at His words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know what? There's a lot of people that give money to the church because they think that's going to buy their way into heaven. There's another story in the Bible about a fellow by the name of Simon who tried to do that, by the way. And Peter told him, and he said, your money perish with thee. You can't buy salvation. Salvation is a free gift given by Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sin. And you can't buy your way to heaven. And you can't do enough good deeds to get there. And that's what this young man was thinking. He was thinking he was good, and he thought that that would get him to heaven. You know, I thought that in my life one time because I was trying to keep a list of things. I'll talk about that in the service to come. But I was trying to keep a list of things and clean my life up because I thought if I could just make sure that all my good works outweighed my bad works, then I'd be good to go. But guess what? If you're here today and you're thinking, well, if I just do good enough and do good enough and do good enough, then all the bad things I've done, the good will outweigh the bad. I'm going to ask you this question. Where do you stand with God this morning? From the day that you were born to this day, have you been keeping up with your good works and your bad works? Where do you stand with God? See, you have no idea if you've done enough good to outweigh your bad. And even if you do enough good to outweigh your bad, you still won't go to heaven unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because it's not about how good you do or how bad you do. The sad thing about it, there's a lot of good people in hell and there's a lot of bad people in hell. What do you mean, Brother Bruce? You don't go to hell because you're good or you're bad. You go to hell if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. You go to heaven if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. There were two thieves on the cross. And if you read your Bible, in the Bible, as they were all on the cross, and Jesus, of course, was in the middle, they were all dying. And if you read your Bible, the two thieves were both cussing Jesus in the beginning. Both of them were railing on him. If you're God like you say you are, get yourself down from here. Get us down. Prove it. But Jesus Christ was going to prove He was God by staying on the cross, dying, and then raising Himself from the dead. And only God could raise Himself from the dead. But you know, as they were hanging on those crosses, one of those thieves had a change of heart. And he looked over at his buddy there and he said, "Hey, we're hanging on these crosses because we're guilty. This man's done nothing." But the other one kept cussing him. He said, "Well, if he's God like he says he is, he'll get himself down and get me down. He can prove it to me." But the other one had a change of heart, and he looked over at Jesus, and out of his mouth came these words, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, the Old Testament saints back in the Old Testament, they put their trust and faith on what Jesus was going to do on the cross in the future. We put our trust and faith on what Jesus Christ has done on the cross in the past. It's all a trust issue. And that one thief trusted Jesus Christ. At that moment, Jesus looked at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And all three died. Of course, Jesus rose himself from the dead. He's alive today. But the one thief that kept on cussing him is in torments right now in a place the Bible calls hell. But the other thief is in paradise with Jesus Christ. One rejected him and one received him. Now, that thief on the cross didn't have time to do any good deeds for anybody, did he? He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to help an old lady across the street. He had time to do one thing: confess Jesus Christ as Lord and die. And he's in paradise. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Him alone? Is there anything in your life, like this young man, is there anything in your life that's keeping you from making the most important decision you can make in your life? If there's anything in your life like that, I would get it out of my life. Because there's nothing more important than giving you. There's nothing that you can't give up that God won't give you back. You know, one of the things that I found out when I got saved, after I got saved, I started telling all my musician friends in Nashville what had happened to me, and they scattered like little roaches, man. Nobody wanted to be around me anymore. And I remember sitting in my apartment one night, and I was sitting there studying my Bible and reading, and I just looked up to heaven. And I said, "God, my phone's not ringing anymore. My friends don't want to come be around me anymore. I'm all alone. And I'm lonely, God." I was very honest. I said, "I'm just lonely." And it just felt like a warm blanket just covered me up. And I remember looking up going, "Whew, but I'm not alone. I have you." He says in His Word, "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Though your mother, your father, your friends, everybody else may," He said, "I will always be with you." And right then I said, "God, it's okay. It's okay. I'm here by myself, but I know that You are with me." But it wasn't long after that that I had a church that I was going to there, and I was meeting new friends in Christ. And then I went to Cleveland, Tennessee, to Shenandoah Baptist Church, and all of a sudden I had all these new brothers and sisters in Christ. And you talk about friends. I've got friends all over the country and even in different parts of the world that God has introduced me to. It's wonderful being in the family of God, because it's a big family. Some people say, "Well, I just like a little bitty church." And I say, "Well, you're not going to like heaven too much, because there's going to be a lot of people there. Hallelujah." So where are you this morning? Are you good? That's what Jesus Christ was asking this young man. Are you really good? And He tested him by giving him the Ten Commandments. "Have you done all that?" Of course, this young man in his pride said, "Yeah, I've done all that." But actually, he hadn't done that. Because when Jesus Christ put His finger on his heart, when He said, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor," and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, you know what? He broke the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And his God was money. I never tried to add to the Bible. But here in one of these other passages, it starts out, there was a certain rich man. Turn your Bibles to Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. I've often wondered if this was the same young man. I can't add to the Bible. I don't know for sure. But the Bible says here, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. See, purple was a symbol of royalty. So, you know, he was a rich young ruler, just like the man in Mark chapter 10. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Here was a beggar, Lazarus, coming by this rich man's house. All he was doing was begging for some bread. And every day that rich man walked right over him. And the dogs had more compassion on him than this rich man did. Lazarus was a Christian. And he was trying to tell this rich young man about Jesus. But the rich young man didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. Because he was young and he was rich. He had it made. He didn't need God. Because he thought he was good. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Do you notice that Lazarus has a name? Do you notice that the rich man has no name? You see, when a person dies without Jesus Christ, his name is blotted out of the book of life. See, there's a book of life and it has everybody's name in it. Everybody who's ever been born, everybody who's going to be born is in the book of life. But if you die without receiving Christ as your Savior, your name is blotted out of the book. And so you would go to a dark place separated from God forever and you would have no name anymore because your name is blotted out of the book. Do you notice that the rich man cried and asked that Lazarus would come down and dip his finger in water because he was so tormented in the flame. He said, all I want is one drink. Could I just have one drop of water? But you know what? In hell, you don't get a drop of water. In hell, you don't get your prayers answered. And he was willing. You know, Lazarus was a leper. He was willing to take a drink of water from a leprous, pussy finger in hell. But it was too late. My brother pointed out something to me in this passage of Scripture. He said, Bruce, he said, look at verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But in hell, it's too late for mercy. And guess what? My brother pointed out to me, he said, Bruce, even in hell, this rich young ruler here had too much pride to admit to God that he was a sinner. He didn't say, have mercy on me, a sinner. He just said, have mercy on me. Even in pride, even in hell, he had too much pride to admit to God that he was a sinner. Pride will cause you to be separated from God forever. If you don't humble yourself, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This whole passage of Scripture is about pride in Mark chapter 10. If that rich young ruler just come and humbled himself and said, God, yes, I'm willing to give up anything to have you. Have you ever come to that point where you got rid of all the gods in your life? You know, a lot of people have the God of music. I had the God of music a long time in my life. And Satan used it for many years in my life to keep me far, far away from God. I remember how it started. When I saw the Beatles in 1964 on television, and I wanted to be just like them. And I started listening to the Beatles. Then I started listening to the Rolling Stones and James Taylor. And then ACDC, all these, and it just went on and on and on. And you know, I knew about God when I was a little boy. But as I started listening to that music, I started drifting and getting away from God. And the more I listened to that filthy music, the more I went away from God. And I had no idea how far away from God I was. And it happens little by little by little. So if you have something in your life that's keeping you from serving God and loving God, maybe you're here today and some of the music that you listen to is not pleasing to God and you know it. And you think, well, it's not going to bother me. But the next thing you know, you'll listen to something else worse than that. And on, you'll just keep drifting and drifting and drifting. The next thing you know, you'll be listening to things and doing things you had no idea. You'll say, how did I get here? Little by little by little. Reminds me of the man and his wife were driving in the pickup in one of these old pickup trucks back in the day where they had the long seat. And his wife was sitting on this side and the other man was driving the truck and they pulled up behind a young couple and they were sitting there. They were all scooched up together. You couldn't have put a piece of paper in between them, you know. And the lady looked over at her husband and she said, oh, Daddy, you remember how we used to ride like that? He looked over at her and he said, I ain't moved. And see, that's what happens. We move. Have you moved from God this morning? Have you let your pride get in the way to where you put something in front of God, in front of worshiping Him? Hey, it'd be a good thing if you had something like that. Give God a Christmas present this Christmas. Say, God, you know there's some things in my life. You know there's some things in my life that aren't pleasing to you. And God, I'm going to lay them on the altar and I'm going to stop listening to this. I'm going to stop doing that, whatever it might be. But you know what? If you're here this morning, maybe you're in Sunday school, but you don't know the Savior. Is there anything that would keep you from giving your life to God? You can receive the greatest Christmas present in the world by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the only present that we can give back to Him is our lives. He gives us eternal life, and all He wants is for us to give our life back to Him. Are you like this rich young ruler this morning? Are you full of pride? Have you ever humbled yourself before a holy God? Have you ever trusted Him as your Savior? If you hadn't, today would be a great day to do that. I know this is just Sunday school, but I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. There's a place called heaven, and there's a place called hell. And when you die, you're going to go to one place or the other. If you continue to live in your pride and you reject the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire separated from God forever. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you would turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ by faith and receive Him as your Savior, He would save you this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. If you died right where you're sitting, are you 100% sure you know you go to heaven? If you're not, would you just let me pray for you? I'm going to be heading to Alabama when I leave here, and I may never see you again. I don't know. Jesus could come back today. I could die on my way there today. You could die on your way home today. Are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you're not, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Bruce, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. God bless you, buddy. Anybody else? Pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure. I see your hand back there. Thank you, buddy. Anybody else? If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But I sure want you to pray for me, Bruce, please. God bless you. I see your hand, buddy. Thank you. I'm looking around. I don't want to miss you. Just lift it up real high and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to bother you. I just want to pray for you. Father God in heaven, you've seen these hands and you see the heart behind the hand. And Father, I pray before they leave this place today that they bow their head and heart and trust you as their Lord and their Savior. And Father, even as Christians, we can let things get in the way of our worship of you. And we can have little gods that we need to get rid of. God, help us to humble ourselves because you can see the pride of our heart. And Father, as we speak, there's a certain rich man in hell that's being tormented right now because he never received you as Savior.
Father, I pray for these that raise their hand that before they leave this building today, that somebody would be able to open the Bible and show them how to be born again into your family by faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the service to come, that you would use the testimony that you've given me in the hearts of your people and those who may not know you as Savior. Father, I love you this morning, and I thank you for our time together. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.